nor man. It's a very interesting concept, this. The age in which we are living today, there are just so many voices. There are so many directions. There are so many thoughts. For those of you that have come out of the world or the world system, in the sense of all of us actually, that are sinners saved by grace, and today we are children of the living God, we've got to learn to follow Christ because we have an option. The option is I can follow myself or I can follow mankind. That's the option. We are given options. And I think to follow seems to be instinctive in the human nature. I mean, when there's a fire in a building, all we need is one person to run out and everybody follows, kind of thing. We see that with music groups. People follow music groups because they are blessed by them. We follow that which makes sense to us. We are following, or we are being followed. And yet the leader also follows someone, something. But we can't separate it. You're following somebody or something, or you are being followed. It's the same thing in influence. I influence or I am being influenced. What am I? Who's influencing me? There are people that follow comedians because it makes them laugh. And it does seem that the basic need is to follow that which helps us or benefits us. If it helps me, I'm going to follow. If I can benefit, I'm going to follow. But that's only temporary. And we've got to look at a more eternal way or a more constant way of following. And yet within following, I also find that somehow natural to the animal kingdom. Growing up in South Africa and going to one of the greatest national parks in the country, the Kruger National Park, spend days there and you'll observe. You'll observe the animals. You'll observe the zebra. There's a leader and the rest follows. You'll observe the wildebeest, which is an amazing animal, because that animal just keeps on nodding wherever it walks. And because the leader nods, everybody else nods. And when you get to the great migration in Kenya and they go off the cliff and through the vast river where all the crocodiles are waiting, everybody's hesitant to plunge into the water until one does it. And when one does it, what happens? What's the risk? Some of you ain't going to make it. You're going to become crocodile food. So it seems that following is common also within the animal kingdom. The elephants, the buffalo. Oh, what about the ducklings? Following the mother. So we see that seems to be inherent. But this morning, I want to show you a few scriptures and hopefully encourage us to follow Christ regardless of the circumstances. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the throngs, the people, the crowds, he was moved with pity and sympathy. Jesus, looking particularly at the Jews, and of course there were Gentiles, but particularly the Jews, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were what? Bewildered. Now the Amplified uses a different word or enhances the word bewildered. Harassed. Distressed. Jill, nice having you back from Italy and Greece. Harassed. I think Addie is here somewhere as well. Nice having her back as well from Puerto Rico. And dejected and helpless. Like sheep, notice, like sheep without a shepherd. What are sheep like without a shepherd? Dumb. They're still dumb when they follow, though. Because they were bewildered, harassed. So the people swarming towards Jesus were like sheep without a shepherd because their spiritual overseers was not meeting their needs. This is the big thing to notice. The spiritual overseers were not meeting their needs. Israel's religious leaders have harassed and abandoned the people and had no interest in the well-being of the people they were overseeing. They were religious and occupied only with themselves. And that's why the statement is made, they were bewildered, harassed. In other words, if we interpret this a little bit further, what Jesus saw was people who were totally and wholly disheartened, demoralized, and discouraged. What's the potential of those people? Or should we ask, what are those people waiting for? A leader. A leader. And I look at this portion of Scripture that Jesus saw these people in a miserable state. Disheartened, demoralized, discouraged. How can you energize these people? Well, through a leader. Their leaders failed them. And we'll get to the leader now, pertaining you and I. But remember what he saw, disheartened, demoralized, and discouraged. That being said, Jesus made a profound statement. What was this profound statement? Well, in John chapter 10, verse 11, the Message translation, I am the good shepherd. He saw the people totally demoralized, totally discouraged, harassed, and yet Jesus does make a statement about himself, I am the good shepherd. So what you're looking for? A shepherd. I am that shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. And this is what I've learned over the years. In becoming a born-again child of God, or a follower of Jesus, or a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to learn core values. Those core values will stand you in good stead as you follow Christ. Mistakes we will make. Times we will fall. But there are core values that's going to help us and will guide us through our lives. And having these biblical core values will have an impact on others. So if he is the shepherd and I'm learning core values under the shepherd's guidance, will that core value be noticeable to somebody else? Should. It should. It would. In John 13:35, a statement that I think we should all apply this verse and learn by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. For instance, let's add on. By this, all men, all people will know that you are my disciples by going to church every Sunday. True? By going to Wednesday night Bible studies. True? By giving money. True? No. You can go to Bible studies. You can go to church every Sunday, not necessarily be a disciple of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you do what? And throughout the book of 1 Corinthians 13, we see entire explanation on what love is. And if we read that whole portion in 1 Corinthians 13, what love is and what does love do, we fall short a lot. If you love one another. Once again, amplification of that particular verse, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. So how prominent is that within churches today? Forget about the world. The world cannot have this kind of love until they have Jesus Christ in their lives, because Jesus is the epitome, is the ultimate of love. He is love. God does not show love or give love. God is love. And you can't separate the two. You can't separate love and God. It's one in essence. If you keep showing love among yourselves. So the emphasis this morning, let's learn to put confidence in who? Christ alone. We still have the option. Self or man. But you and I must program our minds to put our faith, our confidence in Christ alone. In other words, faith is a personal confidence in God. And this is where faith comes in, by trusting Christ alone. I mentioned last Sunday that oftentimes we rely on God only, or call upon God when there's big trouble, instead of having a daily walk with God and trusting God daily. Not on a Sunday, not on a Wednesday, not on a Thursday. Every single day of our lives, I've got to trust Him. I've got to have confidence in Him, irrespective of the clouds, irrespective of the storm, irrespective of the depth of the valley that I am going through. It's no use serving God part-time and expecting a full-time service. You cannot. Oh, there's many serving God part-time by words, but not by action. Serving God part-time, but they want all the blessings, but they don't want to walk with God. You can't expect God to bless you. It's impossible. We must have this personal faith, confidence, reliance, and trust in God. The question would be that I've jotted down, why in God? Why must I have total, complete, whole confidence in God? Or if you want to bring it down, in Christ alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's go. Why must I have holy, total, complete trust in Christ alone? Why? Think about that. Oh, it's a simple question. No, it's not. Why must I have reliance in Christ alone? Well, if not Christ, who else? So if we say, no, I'm not going to have total reliance in Christ, total faith in Christ, well, in who else? Or in what else? And how successful is that? I love the scripture that says, God is not a man that he should what? So won't you rather trust that person or put reliance in that person? That never lies? If not Christ, who else? What else? There's two warnings we're going to look at this morning. A warning to all of us this morning. Avoid putting confidence in men, mankind, man. Avoid it. Help me out. Why must I avoid putting confidence in man? Why? Or if you want to, we can ask the question, how much confidence have you got in man? Or how much confidence do you put in man today? Oh, we follow man a lot. We look at them when we need advice in the financial world. We look at them when we need direction. We look at them when we need a job. We put confidence in the boss. We put confidence in so many things. But I want to emphasize this morning, we must not put confidence in man. In Philippians 3 verse 1, which we will go through the chapter systematically this morning, part of it. Now then, brothers and sisters, be what? That is a trait that you find throughout the New Testament, and particularly within the epistles. Be joyful. Oh, he also says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And in case you missed it the first time, I say, you got it, dude. Be joyful in the Lord. The emphasis here is not in yourself. You cannot create that joy. If it's a worldly joy, it's temporary. But the joy that Christ gives is eternally. So can I be joyful every single day? I know what some of you are saying. Well, you don't know who I'm married to. You do not know what my job is like. You don't know my boss. But yet within the context of joyfulness, I find the emphasis is in somebody else or on somebody else. Now then, brothers and sisters, be joyful in the Lord. How can I be joyful in the Lord? How do I digest that in my mind? I digest that in my mind through what he has done for me. Well, now we act stupid again. What has he done for me? He's redeemed us. He set us free from captivity. He's given me life. Be joyful in the Lord. And now Paul says, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you. And it's for your safety that I'm writing this, that you must be joyful in the Lord. If we go to the Old Testament, we'll find an horrific statement. The statement is so truthful that it actually hurts. It's a warning, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. The Lord says, cursed is the man who does what? But don't we do that? Cursed is the man who puts his trust in mortal man. What the heck is wrong with mortal man? He's mortal. He can't help us. I mean, we're all in the same boat. There's nothing good within man. The Bible says the heart is so deceitful. Cursed is the one who puts his trust in mortal man. In putting your trust in mortal man, look what the consequence or the result can be, and turns his heart away from God. Because now you're trusting in a co instead of trusting in the immortal. And the co will let you down. The immortal won't let you down. Because as you continue to trust mortal man, then we beg to ask the question, if I trust mortal man, why must I trust God? Because I will soon learn that mortal man fails us. Soon. You'll learn that very quick. That being said, Jeremiah 17 verse 5, cursed. Look at Jeremiah 17, 17, the Living Bible. But blessed. What did we find? There's a word different here. Verse 5 says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in fellow man. Two verses later, blessed. Oh, some translations, to be envied or blessed. Favored is the man who trusts in the Lord. You see the difference? First, mortal man, put your faith in, cursed. Now, blessed in favor. God's favor is upon him. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence, or his faith, or faith in. How do I get from verse 5 to verse 7? How do I get there? You're born again, number one. Number two, it's a process. Number two, you've got to evaluate your progress, because you've got to keep on doing this over and over and over, trusting God. Because you and I'm very quick, and I use this word often, We are very quick to go back to our default. The very default is to trust man, to rely on man, to put hope in man, to trust man. That's the default, because we were all sinners now, but saved by grace. So when things go wrong, we trust in God, but then quickly we want to go to default as the Israelites did in the desert. Trusted God until the first obstacle. And then question God, question the leadership. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Throughout the Old Testament, and I'll just rattle it off quickly because it's not on the screen. Throughout the Old Testament, in Psalm 84, go through the old chapter, and you'll find the verse, blessed is the one who trusts in him. Blessed, favored, has the favor of God, who trusts in the Lord. In Psalm 34, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed are those who seek him with all their heart. Notice the word, blessed, 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 not cursed, cursed, cursed. It's positive. It's a good thing today to trust God. So avoid putting confidence in man. Another warning. When I look at one verse, two different translations, Philippians 3 verse 2. Oh, this is not good kind of English. Or we should not use this kind of verbiage. Watch out for those dogs. Here we find Paul referring to people as what? We find that often, oh, you dog. Watch out for those dogs. Who's he referring to? The same people Jesus was referring to when he saw the people harassed, the religious leaders. Watch out for those dogs. Those people who do evil, those mutilators, because they wanted the Christians to be circumcised. In other words, become like us Jews. And all they wanted to do is circumcise people so that they can be accepted within the religious organization. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say, you must be circumcised to be saved. All right, question, do I need to be circumcised to be saved? No, my heart has been circumcised. So I don't need it. And that's what Paul was promoting. Well, I love the Message translation on this. Steer clear of those barking dogs. Those religious busybodies, all bark, no bite. All they're interested in is in appearances. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. Man, they just wanted to zip, 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 zip. Watch out for those people. But we have something different necessary today. It's not only those that want to zip, zip, zip. It's people with a lot of false doctrines that is creeping in, which also we have been warned about. Beware, be alert of these people with false doctrines. The word beware is take heed. And to Paul, this was indeed their character. The Gentiles were called dogs. We find that throughout in the epistles by the Jews. The emphasis here is upon the impurity of the false teachers. In other words, the Judaistic opponents of Paul, in contrast to the true believer. The Judaism wanted something else. Paul, since he had an encounter with Jesus, was preaching to live by faith. And we don't have to have the circumcision. Our hearts have been circumcised when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In other words, Paul is saying they are evil. They are troublemakers. Now, do we still have the same problem today? Not necessarily circumcision, but troublemakers. Yeah, the churches are full of them. In every church, there are troublemakers. They come in and they go out. They come in, cause trouble, and off they go. And sometimes they don't just go, you ask them to go. So, destructive people, religious, but not followers of Christ. So we noticed this morning, I must avoid putting my confidence in mankind. I must put my confidence in Christ. But there's another warning. And the other warning is not just mankind. The other option I have is putting the confidence in myself. I am capable. Who needs God? I can handle this. This is a major problem. Philippians 3:3. Number of scriptures we'll go through, elaborate a little bit. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are what? Fleshly or spiritual circumcision. It's a spiritual circumcision. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. I've got to put faith, confidence in Christ. The reason I've got to put faith, confidence in Christ is because of what he has done. In other words, it's not blind faith. Somebody mentioned way back in my reading that you got to have knowledge before you exercise the faith. I've got knowledge of what Christ has done, and now it's easy for me to have faith in him because of the knowledge I have of him. So the Christian is not just blind faith. For we worship by the Spirit of God. We rely, and that's the main emphasis, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us, which we quickly forget because it's already, 2 weeks? Past Easter already? Easter's gone. What's the next thing we're looking forward to? Mother's Day. And then, of course, Ascension Day, Pentecost, oh my gosh. You see, we move on, as I said last Sunday, we move on, man. But we've got to remember what Christ has done. And we continue to rely on Christ Jesus, on what he has done for us. And then we can pause, if you want to, for a moment and go through a list of questions as to what he has done. And we can get into the theology about it. We can get into the impact it has. What has Christ done for us? But yet sometimes we take what he has done for us for granted. It's not fresh because we're human. We're like sheep at times without a shepherd. Here's the emphasis concerning mankind. Emphasis, rely on Christ. Concerning mankind, put what? No confidence in human effort. Once again, why not? Why not? It's self-instigated. It's temporary. It doesn't give the eternal solutions. Notice what it says. We put no confidence in human effort or the flesh because it's not complete. We are not complete. We're still in a sinful body. We will be complete one day through that sanctification process. And when we see Jesus Christ face to face, we will be like him. Do not put confidence in human effort. Why not? Because it's limited. So you're going to put your confidence in someone that's unlimited. The question once again is, why do we struggle to put confidence in someone we cannot see? Why? Isn't it easier to have confidence in somebody you can see? And that's the transition. And that's the challenge that is before you and me this morning. Proverbs 28:26. He who leans on, trusts in, and is confident of his own mind and heart is a what? So how many self-confident fools do we have this morning? He who leans on, trusts in, and is confident of his own mind and heart is a self-confident fool. But, oh, I love that word, but. Sometimes you don't like it. But he who walks, notice, walks in skillful and godly wisdom shall be delivered. His time. All you got to do is keep on walking. Keep on walking with him. I'm going to quote a scripture to you. And the last time I quoted the scripture is about 5 years ago and I never got lunch. I will quote it again today and I know what I'm getting. I'm getting cabbage. I was going to bring my mask with this morning just to protect me. But they promised me it won't smell so bad. So you are having cabbage for lunch. Micah 7 verse 5. Let's read it together. Don't. Okay, pause. Who's anyone? It goes on. Don't even trust your best friend. And I'm not going to read the last piece. You can do that. Yeah, no, I was going to try and have cabbage lunch. In other words, it doesn't talk about the day-to-day relationship that you're building up with people. It's that soul confidence, the soul trust, the total reliance. Don't rely or trust in, rely entirely on anyone. Why not? Because they're fallible. But Christ is not fallible. Yes, they are human like us. Don't trust anyone. Yes, they can at times give good advice, and that's good. Not even your best friend. And how often don't we find people go, this is my best friend. I trust my best friend. You can trust. But here's the question, guys. How quick is it to break trust? Think about that for a moment. Best friend, how easy is it to break trust? Like this. One word. Me, one word. One action, your trust is broken. Don't trust anyone entirely. Yeah, we can get advice, but the ultimate advice is God. Don't trust anyone. How do I get advice from God? Please. I can't even see God. How do I get advice from him? The Bible? Inward spirit guiding us, leading us? Don't trust anyone. Not your best friend or even your wife. Man, that's a heavy statement. No, it doesn't say that. No, that one falls under everyone. Or your husband, you're right. Don't trust anyone. Our sole trust is in God. Now that we're over that, and I missed out on lunch 5 years ago, and I'm going to have cabbage today. Psalm 56, verse 3. Could you write this down? Do you want to take a picture of this? Do you want this on your refrigerator? Do you want it in your car? How about memorizing it? But even when I'm afraid, I'm going to do what? There's the secret, guys. There's the secret. Even when I'm afraid, I'm going to keep on trusting. I like the contemporary English version. I will keep on trusting. Keep on. I don't see the sea parting. Keep on trusting. I don't see the miracle. Keep on trusting. I don't see any health improving. Keep on trusting. And sometimes we lay so much emphasis on the health of this body on this planet Earth as if we're going to live in this body the rest of our lives. This body's got to go, as sad as it is. And if you do love your body so much, get it cloned. I keep on trusting God. I still see the clouds out there. I still see the storm raging. Keep on trusting God. I shall not be moved. I'm like a what? Tree planted by the waterside. I shall not be moved. Beautiful old song the dinosaurs used to sing. Proverbs 3:5 is the one that is so important to all of us. I've quoted it so many times. It's part of my vocabulary. You've known that for years. Let's read it together. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. The Message translation makes it a little easier to understand. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The Message, trust God from the bottom, the depth of your heart. That's another challenge for every single one of us this morning. Because we rely so much externally on external things. In our vocabulary, and Heather, my vocabulary of mothers, her parents, my parents, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Just keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. And this is the problem, guys, as human beings that are putting our faith and reliance in Jesus Christ. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. But when God doesn't operate the time period or the time span we want him to operate, what do? We try to figure it out on our own because God's a little bit too slow. And then we step in. And then we screw up. Have you ever screwed up? Oh, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Learn this lesson. Anything other than knowing and following Christ. Let me say that again. Anything other than knowing and following Christ is worthless. Look at Philippians 3:8. Yes, all the things, an educated individual, this Paul. Once again, I'm using the Message translation just because of certain words, but the context of it or the importance will be conveyed to you and it's accurate. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from our life. What things? What things? His studying, his education, climbing the corporate ladder within the Pharisaic stages. Notice what he says. All the things I once thought were so position are gone from my life. Oh, really? Oh, really? Why are they gone? Why are they gone? They're gone from my life. Well, why are they gone? Something must have happened, right? Well, what happened? He found Jesus. He found Jesus. And everything he was pursuing that he thought was right and important, gone. And this is what he says. They're gone from our life. But notice we ask, how, when, what happened? Compared to the high privilege. This is where I was. This is what I experienced. My experience is taking away or bringing into perspective where I was. And where I was, which I thought was great, I was still not fulfilled. Think about that. He thought he was, but he was not fulfilled. He became fulfilled or a fulfilled individual when Christ filled him. And that's why he says, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ brings life into perspective. He had his own perspective. Or could we say he had his religious perspective. But when he found Christ, it brought his life into perspective. There was something more. There was something better. There was someone better. Privilege of knowing Christ as my master. Oh, look how he elaborates. Firsthand, my experience firsthand with Christ. Everything I once thought I had going for me is what? dog poop. I smell something right now. Cabbage. Oh, I laugh at these guys. I know how you feel about it, but is it okay if we do this? Yeah, you can do cabbage. We will. So I've decided I'm going to call this Sunday Hog Sunday. Hogs love cabbage. Everything I once thought, I'm not saying you hogs, okay? You can't be a hog. Get over it. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Really? Really? You are climbing the corporate ladder, my mate. And all you can say is dog poop, dog dung. And the translation just says dung. How do you get to this point? I've dumped it all in the trash. How do you get to that point? Can you get to that point when things mean so much to you that you can actually dump it? Oh, many of you or most of you have done that already. Because you've embraced Christ. Because you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Things that you listen to, you just don't want to listen to it anymore. Things you used to do that mattered so much, that was a priority. I've heard you. They're no longer priorities. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. You've embraced Christ. And Christ makes the difference. Anything other than knowing and following Christ is worthless. Apply yourself to pursuing a right relationship with Christ. So he's embraced Christ. And now in verse 9, he does something beautiful. If we go to Philippians 3:9, the Living Bible. Embrace him. So we're continuing the thread and the idea of Paul writing to the Philippians. My history is dog dung. My accomplishments, worthless. Since I've embraced Christ. So my value, my core values have changed. Why? Because of Christ. And now that I have embraced Christ, he leads me down the path and he says, and become one with him. In other words, walk in step with him. Walk in step with him, which we find so difficult at times to do. And become one with him. Becoming one with him? Yeah. He's saying, I want you to concentrate on a personal intimacy with Christ. I never had that personal intimacy until I embraced him. And now that I've embraced him, I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want to learn from him. And he says, become one with Christ, no longer counting on being saved by good enough or by obeying God's laws. In other words, watch out for this orthodoxy. Watch out for this religion. What must I do? No longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws, as was expected from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but by trusting Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on what? I love the faith, but remember when he says the faith, he's already got the knowledge of what happened, and that's why he's going to walk by faith based on the knowledge that he has received. And that's why he says, counting on Christ alone. And that's why he makes that statement, counting on Christ alone, because he's built up knowledge about Christ. And he's experienced Christ on a first-hand basis. And he says, you know what? There's nobody else. There's nobody else. Counting on Christ alone. Important for you and me and your ability to live a worthy life is directly linked to your walk with Christ. Galatians 5:16, and one more and we close. New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. We are very impatient to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Notice, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Okay? Let's play that game again. If I don't wait for the Holy Spirit to guide my life, what am I going to do? I'm going to let my sinful nature fulfill its cravings. In other words, default is going to kick in. The things I used to do, the way I used to do it. But he says, no, 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 no. I want you to build a relationship with Christ. I want you to know that he's the ultimate. I want you to know that since you've embraced him, you're going to walk in step with him. And I want the Holy Spirit to guide your lives. And this is ongoing until we see Jesus face to face. We're going to make mistakes. There's going to be errors. There's going to be mishaps. Keep on walking. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Learning to know and understand, I think, is important for every single one of us this morning, that he is the source of your strength. Guys, as I conclude, I've learned this, I continue to learn this. There is no other source of strength outside of Jesus Christ. The older I get, the more I realize this. Younger you were, you think you're macho. The older you get, the recognize, then all of a sudden, you start maturing and you recognize, you know what, I'm not so great as I thought I was. And this is the point. Learning to know and understand that he is the source of your strength. For your this young generation in our church, the middle-aged generation, the older generation, let's learn this. Let's accept this. And we're going to close with an amplified version of Philippians 4:13, and we're going to read it in closing. Let's start. I have strength for all things in who? In Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who does what? Infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient. Notice the perfect wording. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Doesn't stop there. I am self. Okay. As a child of God, as Paul has embraced Jesus, as a child of God, am I self-sufficient? Yeah. Is there anything that I lack within my spiritual relationship with God? No. Is there anything more he can do for me? Is there anything more Christ can do for me? No. He lived. He died. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He's seated at the Heavenly Father's right hand. And he's coming back for us. So is there anything more to add to my salvation? No. The only thing I'm waiting for is a new body. That's all I'm waiting for. I don't know about you. Oh, you can have your mansion just over the hilltop, Billy. Always tease Billy about that one. We're waiting for a brand new body, a glorified body. That's what we're waiting for. There's nothing else that can be added into my life to make me perfect. No, I'm perfect in Christ. I'm just going through the process and walking step by step with him. And to say this, that I am self-sufficient, does not mean to accomplish selfish goals. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. No, it doesn't mean that. Whatever is needed to glorify God, you've got it. He'll give it to you. All that is required is walking in step with him. Is that too much to ask? No, it's not. Based on what he has done for every one of us. Can we pray together?